Book number two in the Conversations with God cosmology. There are nine books, of course, in the Conversations with God dialogue. Book number two offers us a brand new social standard, a new way to interact with each other, a new way to relate to each other as individuals, as groups, and as an entire species called the human race. And that new way is described in two words: total visibility. Absolute visibility. And in book two, we are told that there are five levels of truth-telling, and we are invited as human beings to engage in the process of telling the truth so that we become totally visible, so that there's never anything again that is hidden or kept secret from anyone about anything. I'd like to review with you in this lesson the five levels of truth-telling. Level number one, to tell the truth to yourself about yourself. Now, you might think that's fairly simple, fairly easy, because all of us tell the truth to ourselves about ourselves. But my experience, I don't know about you, but I can tell you in my experience is that that's not necessarily true. Throughout my life, I have not always told the truth to myself about myself, believe it or not. There are many things about me that other people have told me that I did not want to accept as truth about me. I wanted to reject what I saw them observing and what they were telling me about me. So I would actually deny what they were saying to me about me. I was in what's called self-denial. Not just did I deny what other people were saying to me about me, I denied my own observations, which is even more interesting. The mind has the ability to deny its own observations of itself. That is, your mind can compartmentalize, and part of your mind can go over here and observe the rest of you being a certain way or saying a certain thing or acting in a certain way, and the rest of your mind can actually say, no, you're not seeing that correctly. And part of your mind can actually deny what the other part of your mind is observing, which is what creates internal conflict. That's why people go to see psychologists and psychiatrists, because they have an internal conflict where one part of the mind is denying what the other part of the mind is clearly seeing, totally analyzing, and absolutely understanding. So tell the truth to yourself about yourself is not as simple as it may seem. But once we do, once we begin to tell the truth to ourselves about ourselves, once we begin to acknowledge what's really true about us. And by the way, I'm not only talking about the negative side, the so-called negative things about us, things we don't admire so much about ourselves. I'm talking about positive things too. As a matter of fact, interestingly, fascinatingly enough, sometimes it's the more positive aspects of ourselves that is harder for us to accept, more difficult for us to embrace than the negative sides of ourselves. So we kind of deny. We've been taught by human culture to deny the best of us, even as we have found it easier to deny the so-called worst of us. So telling the truth to yourself about yourself can be incredibly freedom-giving. It can produce freedom in your life. I'll give you a couple of perfect examples in my life to let you know what I'm talking about. All my life, people have said to me that I'm sarcastic. They said, you know, Neil, you're just really sarcastic. You use sarcasm as a tool, almost as a defense, or sometimes as an attack, as a weapon. So as a weapon or as a defense, you use sarcasm, and it's not really a good thing to do. But of course, I denied it. You need to know that for 50 years, for a half century, I said, you're just exaggerating, or maybe once in a while, but not that often. It's not really, no, not once in a while. Neil, it's a characteristic of you. You do it all the time. And I simply didn't accept it because it wasn't attractive to me. It wasn't something I wanted to admit or to acknowledge about myself. But then I remember once when it was startling to me. It came home to me so clear. I was involved in a particular interaction with a younger person. This younger person was about 23 or 24 years old at the time, and I was around 50 at the time, or maybe 45. I was 45 years old. And I was having this interaction with this younger person, and I apparently said something very sarcastic. And this younger person looked up to me. She was a young lady, and she said to me, "You know what, Neil? That's not a very attractive part of you." And I was stunned with the lack of with my lack of ability to see that it wasn't very attractive. I was even more stunned with her clarity, with her ability to simply and directly tell me the truth. And there was no animosity in her voice. There was no sarcasm in her voice. There was no anger in her voice. There was no negativity at all. It was just a very soft, almost a gentle, sweet statement. She simply, calmly, and sweetly announced, "You know what, Neil? This is not a very attractive part of you." And I was so stunned by the simple energy of it that I took it in more than I ever did before, more than I ever could have before. And that began to change my idea about how I wanted to be with regard to my sarcasm. I was very happy that I learned that. I have not stopped being sarcastic, but hard as it is to believe to people who know me, I'm less sarcastic now than I used to be. I was even worse before than I am now, because I finally just told the truth to myself about myself as a result of someone having the courage and the kindness and the goodness and the love to tell me the truth about myself from their point of view. I'll give you another example on the positive side. Someone once said to me, "You know, you're one of the most generous people I've ever known." See, I never thought of myself that way. But it turns out that, in fact, that's true. I'm an extraordinarily generous person with my finances, with my time, with my love, and with my talents. I'm very generous, and I give those things away almost by simply being asked to do so. So, but I had a hard time admitting that, because if number one, it didn't seem to me that way. I wasn't quite seeing it that way. And again, it was only when I saw it from somebody else's point of view that I came to understand that's the truth. That's really true about me. And I began to embrace that. It's a very healthy thing for us to embrace everything that we have come to understand about ourselves, whether we call it so-called positive or so-called negative. It's neither positive nor negative, really, in the overall sense of things. It's just what's true. And it helps us to decide which aspects of ourselves we choose to retain, we choose to even enlarge, to expand, we choose to reduce, and ultimately eliminate. As we move forward in our evolutionary process, recreating ourselves anew in the next grandest version of the greatest idea we ever held about who we are. So there you are. Telling the truth to yourself about yourself is not a small thing. It can be a huge first step. It's usually what I call a middle-of-the-night process. You know, it's not something we often do at 4 o'clock in the afternoon driving down the road. Well, sometimes we do. We might when we have some time to think as we're driving along the highway. But it's what I call a middle-of-the-night process, because 85% of the time, it's when we're in the middle of the night or just about to go to sleep, and we think about things like that. We think, you know what? Yeah. On the so-called positive and the so-called negative side, these are the things that are true about me. So I want to invite you, Conversations with God has encouraged us to move into the first level of truth-telling, to tell the truth to yourself about yourself. The second level of truth-telling is to tell the truth to yourself about another. Now, you might think that that's really simple, because we're not talking about anything that leaves your mind or that you say out loud. This is about telling the truth to yourself about another. So no one ever has to know about it. You're not going to hand out slips of paper on which you wrote what you're thinking, and no one has any way of knowing. But even though no one else has any way of knowing what you're thinking about them, it's often not easy to tell the truth to yourself about another. Let me give you an example of that. Again, from my own life. Because, by the way, when I was given these five levels of truth-telling in Conversations with God, it was a great gift to me. I never thought about it that way. I just never had a thought about the process by which total visibility could become part of my life. So when I was given this in the Conversation with God dialogue, it was a huge treasure. It was a wonderful gift to me. And because I learned that in my own life, I wasn't doing these things. I wasn't actually telling the truth to myself about another. And the example I was going to share with you is when I was involved in a relationship many years ago. This is now almost 35 or 40 years ago. But I was involved in a relationship at that time in my life. And you know what? I really was no longer romantically in love with this person. I did, in fact, love them. I loved this lady, as a friend and as another human being on the planet. I had a genuine love for her, but I no longer was romantically in love with her. But I couldn't admit that to myself. I couldn't tell myself that. But here we go again with that split personality. Part of my mind was saying, you know what? You're no longer romantically in love with this person. And the other part of myself was saying, don't talk like that. Don't speak like that. Don't say that. She's done nothing to hurt your feelings. She's done nothing to deserve that. You should continue to love her the way you did when you first met her. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. And I actually talked myself out of. Can you hear that? I actually talked myself out of my own truth about this other person. The result of which was I stayed in the relationship way longer than I ever should have. Can't even imagine, looking back on it, how I allowed myself to put myself through that when I should have just told the truth to myself about another. And again, I want to make the point that that's not just applicable in situations where what we're thinking is perhaps a negative thought. It's also applicable with positive thoughts as well. So it was a very hard time for me to admit, for instance, I was very attracted to a man in my life. And he was a 39-year-old man. I was about 19 or 20 at the time. And I found myself falling in love with this person. But I was thinking to myself, gosh, I just really love this person. His name is Ben. I really love Ben. I just adore this man. And another part of myself was saying, no, you're not supposed to have those feelings. He's the same gender. He's the same sex. You're not supposed to have those feelings. You don't love him. You like him a lot. Yeah, but don't go. And I actually talked myself out of loving this human being because my culture said it was not okay for me to fall in love with this person at the level that I was feeling it. And I robbed myself of a wonderful opportunity to have a lifelong friendship. We did have a good friendship for years, but it could have been even richer and more wonderful and more glorious if I had simply allowed myself to admit and acknowledge the truth. So to tell the truth to yourself about another, whether it's your boss, your spouse, your friend, or any other person on the planet, to tell the truth to yourself about another is a very powerful thing because it allows you to act into it. It allows you to step into that truth and to demonstrate it and then to not rob yourself of what you wished you had experienced. The third level of truth telling is when you tell the truth about yourself to another. Now, this is the first time you're saying anything out loud. This is the first time you're revealing anything to another human being. It's when you tell the truth about yourself to another. And again, that was not easy for me to do. You know, I was walking around most of my life keeping most of the data about myself, most of the truth about myself, again, the good and the bad, hidden, keeping it mostly a secret. I thought, you know, it's my business, and they'll find out soon enough if we have a long-term relationship, if we have a nice long friendship, they'll find out soon enough. But why not let them find out at least the important things that are true about you as soon as possible? Well, the reason that I didn't tell people the whole truth about me as soon as possible was, of course, I was afraid of rejection. I was afraid of rejection. So I didn't even tell people the political party that I belonged to sometimes, or what my spiritual beliefs were, or what certain of my other philosophical understandings and philosophical positions were. I often didn't say these things to other people, and especially to ladies, that I hoped to have a romantic interlude or romantic relationship with, I simply wouldn't say anything. So it took them a long time to know me. And this happens not just in my life, but I've observed it happening in the lives of other people as well. And that's why people get together, they have a long-term relationship, maybe even a marriage, and then somewhere around 3 or 4 years into it, one person turns to the other and says, you know what? You've changed. You've really changed. They didn't change at all. They just revealed, the longer they're together with somebody, what was true from the beginning. What they didn't say anything about. Oh, you don't like asparagus? I didn't know you don't like asparagus. I thought you loved asparagus. You actually ate it right in front of me. Yeah, when I was trying to impress you. You think I'm making this up? This is how people live their relationships. Unless, of course, they don't. It all depends on how visible we choose and decide that we want to be. The fourth level of truth-telling is when we tell the truth about another to that other. When we say to another person what is true for us about them. Now we're getting into really dangerous territory. This is where we have to risk everything. We have to risk rejection. We have to risk another person's anger. We have to risk another person's upset. We have to risk another person perhaps even being a little hurt, a little damaged, a little disappointed, at least from their point of view, in what it is that we have to share and that we have to say. So it takes great courage to get to the fourth level of truth-telling, to tell your truth to another about that other person, about themselves. I learned how to do that, and I still don't always do it as well as I would like. Sometimes it's a bit clumsy, but again, less clumsy now than it was 10 or 15 years ago, because I met a spiritual master many years ago now, about 15 years ago, whose name was Francis Trium. He was a master of a Chinese martial art called Gong De Gao, and he was a Chinese master, so they called him Futsu. Futsu is a Chinese word meaning master, a master of the art. Futsu Trion became a friend of mine, and he shared with me a marvelous statement that I never forgot from the day he said it to me, because he watched me interacting with somebody at some point in my life. I forgot, frankly, the exact moment or the exact event. I don't remember the incident specifically, but I do remember to this day what he said to me following the moment that he witnessed. He took me aside gently and he said, Neil, may I give you a little bit of personal advice? I said, yes, please, Futsu, I would love to hear from you. He said, speak your truth, but soothe your words with peace. I never forgot that. Speak your truth, but soothe your words with peace. And I learned from Futsu that there is a way to say what's true for you about another, or for that matter, about everything, about yourself, about life. There's a way to speak your truth, but to do so with gentleness and compassion, with caring and with love, with understanding and with deep awareness of the sensitivities of all people. So I want to share that with you right here. I want to pass on to you. Futsu has celebrated his continuation day. He's no longer with us in the physical body. But his gift to you today, from him to me to you, is that wonderful, wonderful statement. Speak your truth. Always speak your truth. But soothe your words with peace. That takes us to level 5 of truth-telling. The fifth level of truth-telling is this. Tell the truth to everyone about everything. Do you dare to do that? Tell the truth, your truth, to everyone about everything. Now I'm going to say something here that may be strange to drop into the presentation at this point. But I have to do it because my truth requires me to. Conversations with God said to me, there's no such thing as absolute truth. truth doesn't exist. It's relative and personal and specific and individual. There's no such thing as absolute truth. So how can you engage the five levels of truth-telling if there's no such thing as absolute truth? What we're talking about here and what we're referring to is your truth. That is, what is true for you. What is true for you about you. What is true for you about another. What is true for you about everything. Your truth. So, speak your truth, but soothe your words with peace. And one of the ways that I have found that makes it easier for me to speak my truth with peace is to say to other people, you know, I could be wrong about this. I don't need to be right about this. It's just how it feels over here. It's how it feels over here, and I own it. I own these ideas as my own feeling. They may or may not be true for anybody else, but they're true for me, for what it's worth. It's from the For What It's Worth department. So it's important for us to engage in that process of truth-telling, knowing that absolute truth does not exist. Only what you decide is what's so for you. Now, let's talk a little bit about truth in relationships, because this is where it really becomes critical to sustaining any kind of worthwhile or long-lasting relationship. If you are in a relationship with anybody who really matters, I want to say with anybody, period, because everybody should really matter, but you know what I mean. If you're involved in a really serious, intensely personal, intimate relationship, if you're unable to be truthful with that person about everything all the time, you're going to be in trouble. That relationship is not going to last, or it may last for a long time, but be extremely challenging, extremely difficult, and even at some level miserable, because you simply can't be totally visible. Total visibility and longevity in relationship must go hand in hand. Hopefully you would be totally visible to everyone, but certainly to people who you hope to be close to and intimate with. So you have to make sure in your life that you are never on withhold. There's a phrase we use in America called being on withhold. That means I'm withholding something. I'm withholding something. I'm not revealing something to another person. When you play cards, if you play a certain game called poker, everybody has to have five cards. It's not okay if you've got five cards and they're holding four, because you're holding their fifth card back. You're withholding something. And so one of the things I like to ask people who attend my workshops and my retreats when we talk about truth is this. I ask them to make a self-assessment. Are you withholding anything from anybody? Is there anybody in your life with whom you are withholding a truth? Your parents, your lover, your close friend, your business associate, your government. Who are you withholding something from? And what would your life be like? Well, how would your life change, if at all? Maybe it wouldn't change at all, but how might your life change if suddenly you've stopped withholding anything from anyone at all and never withheld anything again? If you find that you're on withhold, that there are certain things that you're simply not saying to somebody else, it might be a good thing to change your mind about that. It might be a good idea to no longer do that. And you may want to ask yourself a question. Who am I protecting by not telling that person the whole truth, by withholding that information? See, often people, here we go again, the two parts of our mind, often one part tells the other part of our mind, you know, you're not telling them the truth for their own good. Yeah, yeah, you're withholding that information for their own good. You're trying to protect them, because if they knew what your truth was, they'd be sad, or they'd be disappointed, or they'd feel rejected, or they'd feel angry, or they'd feel hurt, or whatever. So we think we've convinced ourselves That's what allows us, by the way, because most people have a high level of personal integrity. Believe it or not, most people have a high level of personal integrity. So they've got to find a way to convince themselves that it's okay to be on withhold with somebody else, that it's totally okay to not tell the truth to somebody else about something that's fairly important. So the way we convince ourselves is by saying to ourselves, you know, I'm doing it for their own good, because I don't want them to feel hurt or upset or angry or disappointed or injured or damaged in some way. So I, you know, they don't have a need to know. That's not that important. And it's better for me not to tell them. Better for me not to tell them that I don't really like the way they prepared that meal. It really didn't taste that good. Or that I don't really like that dress they're wearing. How do you like my new dress, darling? Oh, it's wonderful. It really looks sweet. It's terrible. But we don't say anything. And of course, I'm using silly examples. Most people do this with very large pieces of information, very important bits of data, not whether they made a nice meatloaf or whether you like the dress they're wearing. Although sometimes we tell little white lies, what we call in America little white lies, about things like that as well. Somebody calls and invites you to dinner. Would you like to come to dinner, or would you like to have a come to our cocktail party? And you make up a reason. No, I'm not really feeling that well today, or I'm kind of busy right now. When you're really not that busy, or whatever, you tell a little white lie because you don't want them to know the truth, because you're doing it to protect them. So here's this grand illusion, what I call the grand illusion, that you've convinced yourself that it's okay to be on withhold with somebody about something because you're protecting them. Now, we all know the truth, don't we? What you're really protecting is yourself. It's an act of self-protection. You don't want to have to deal with how you guess or imagine they might feel if you told them what's absolutely true for you. You know, well, you know, thanks for the invitation, but actually I don't like you. Or thanks for the invitation, but I really don't want to go to your party because they're boring. Or thanks for the invitation, but you know what? It's more fun for me to be home with my wife right now than I'll have it, you know, and I'm not really a party person or whatever it might be. See, you just tell the truth. But we're protecting ourselves, because if we said that, if we said those things, how would that make us look? So we're trying to protect ourselves so we don't look bad. See, so lying is the definitive act of self-protection, obviously. I mean, that's obvious. Except, isn't it interesting that we think that it's obvious, but it really isn't that obvious? Because if it were that obvious, we wouldn't all be doing it. But we are all doing it. I mean, there's not a person watching this presentation right now, probably not one single person, who has not been caught in some kind of a little white lie like that. Or maybe even a larger, major truth. How many of, you know, I go to my audiences when I give lectures in public, and I say to my audiences, there may be 200 or 300 people in the room, how many of you have never lied once in your life? And maybe 3 hands go up in the audience. 3 hands out of 300 or 400 people. And I usually point to those 3 people and I say, liar, you just told your first lie. Because I know better. There's nobody in the world that hasn't told an untruth. But you can begin to reduce and reduce and reduce and reduce the number of untruths that you tell or that you hide. See, not to say something is an act of lying as well, of course. Being on withhold is as much of a lie as saying something that's not true, or saying nothing at all is sometimes even a bigger lie. So look to see who you are protecting, and you will usually find out that you're protecting yourself. But when you don't need anything from anyone else, when you don't require anything from anyone else, when you're not trying to get anything from anyone else, suddenly you have, how do they put it? Nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose by telling the truth. And it will amaze you what you can gain by telling the truth. Someone once said, the truth shall set you free. And it's absolutely accurate. The truth shall set you free. So you want a little exercise that you can use to help you get from where you may be now to a place where you begin to apply the 5 levels of truth telling, especially level number 4 and level number 5. Level number 4, remember, my truth about you. that I'm telling you. Level number 5, you tell the truth to everyone about everything. Here's a little exercise. Take out a piece of paper or a notebook and put a person's name at the top of it. Maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your father, maybe it's your brother or your sister, your aunt or your uncle, or your lover or your spouse or your friend or your business partner, whoever it is. But make sure it's somebody fairly important to you, not just a neighbor that you see once a month walking down the street. Make it somebody fairly important to you and write their name at the top of the page and then write down the following sentence. What I'm afraid to tell you is dot, dot, dot. What I'm afraid to tell you is, dear mom, what I'm afraid to tell you is, dear dad, what I'm afraid to tell you is, or dear spouse, my beloved spouse, what I'm afraid to tell you is, and then write out what it is you're afraid to tell them. Write it out. And see how it would feel if you actually said those things. Or maybe you just gave them the note. Just give them the note. If you can't do it in person, or you don't feel that you can say it freely, but just write them an email or give them the note and let them know what's true for you about that topic. It's a powerful, powerful exercise. Do it with like 5 people in your life next week. Just write down the names of 5 people who are important to you. And then write down what I'm afraid to tell you is. And by the way, in that statement, in that little paragraph, tell them why you're afraid. I'm afraid to tell you this because my thought is that when I tell you this, you're going to react in the following way. This is what makes me afraid to tell you. And if you were actually to deliver that to the other person, it can be a very powerful opening. It can open the relationship to a brand new level. Because most people can receive that kind of information with compassion and with understanding. Because they too have experienced in their life people with whom they're afraid to speak the entire truth. And you could be one of them for all you know. I did this once with a person, and this person said to me, I'm so glad you finally told me that, because I've been afraid to tell you about this. How about if we stop being afraid of each other and just tell each other what the truth is? And then trust each other to be compassionate and understanding and to be able to handle and deal with that information in an okay way. So it's a very powerful thing to do. Another powerful thing to do is to take the truth test. I call this the truth test. And get out another sheet of paper and write down the names of people and then say, what, if anything, am I withholding from someone? What am I, in one column, what am I withholding from someone? And then in column 2, what would happen if I told them? What do I think would happen if I told them what I'm now withholding? And then in column number 3, what would happen if I did it anyway? Even if they did do what I'm afraid they would do, then what would happen? It's a powerful process that can free you and move you into a place of total visibility. Wouldn't it be great if we could all live in a place of total visibility and stop trying to take care of other people? Stop trying to worry about how they're going to feel or how they're going to respond, as long as you speak your truth but soothe your words with peace. I will tell you right now that this can shift your experience of life dramatically and move you closer and closer to your true purpose for being here, which is to express the divine aspect of who you really are. It can change your life virtually overnight. And that's the truth.